D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5. The game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you. Before we bring in our friend Teron Davenport, some breaking NFL news from Adam Schefter. The NFL has suspended Ja'Marr Chase for spitting at Jalen Ramsey. Chase denied spitting at Ramsey. Schefter writes, but the league determined the video evidence was sufficient to warrant a suspension. So a one-game suspension for Ja'Marr Chase for spitting at Jalen Ramsey.
I don't understand these kids nowadays. I really don't. Spitting, that is so degrading when you spit on somebody or spit at somebody. Should have been longer than one game, honestly.
But how does he think?
I just don't get it.
Like, deep down, he's got to know.
Yeah. I was Jalen Ramsey, I'd have punched him in his face. I would have went after him after that. I would have went at
right. Did you think it wasn't
room.
On video? Like,
yeah, it's just like.
Or, you know, there's cameras everywhere.
Like, dude, why do you district? Like, that's a total lack of respect for the game. These kids talk about how much they love the game, and I'm not saying they you know, all these kids don't. And I don't want to, you know, single out one guy and make it seem like this is everybody's problem. But we've seen this too many times. Where someone is spitting on another person. It's like, dude, it ain't even that serious, really. And you wouldn't spit on me if we was out in the streets. You just wouldn't do that. But this is a total lack of respect for the game, let alone for your opponent, but it's a total lack of respect for the game, period.
Let's welcome in Teron Davenport, who is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. Teron, in the previous segment, we played part of Jeffrey Simmons' scrum after the game yesterday. Two-part question for you. One, for as long as you've covered the Tennessee Titans, is that the maddest you've seen Jeffrey Simmons after a game? And two, how did the offensive players you spoke to today respond to what Jeffrey Simmons had to say yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably as upset as I've seen him. Rightfully so. You know, he came back and he was hoping to, you know, get a win. It was an opportunity where they should have won that game as it kind of played out down the stretch. So, yeah, he was upset. That's the worst. The offense, I mean, we only talked to Lloyd Cushenberry. That was the only one. We don't get open locker room on Mondays, but he was the offensive player. Jahad Ward was the defensive player. And Cushenberry and even just in the locker room yesterday talking to them, Cam Ward, you know, some of the other guys, like, they understood the frustration and they know they have to play better and it's not, they're not contributing to their part of the formula and it's making it difficult.
Teron, Cam Ward led a 95-yard touchdown drive in the fourth quarter to set up an exciting finish in what was an otherwise, I call it, boring game. You may see it otherwise. But my question for you is, how much confidence should Titans fans derive from Ward's performance on that fourth quarter drive? It reminds me a little bit of how we talked about Cam Ward's performance in the fourth quarter several weeks ago at Arizona. So how much confidence, based on what you saw from Ward, what he was able to do, leading the team all the way down the field, how much confidence should Titans fans derive from that particular part of the game?
Well, I don't know that there's a whole lot of confidence they should derive from it. I think it's just, You got to understand that it's all a process, and these people that are so quick to rush to judgment about this, that, and the third, you got to let the man get acclimated to the league. And I think what you saw was a guy that was able to get rid of the ball quicker. Now, as Mike McCoy said, when I asked him about that today, a lot of that had to do with those guys coming off the edge, and it was, you know, there was some game plan to get the ball out. But I think he showed you that he can do it. I think that's the thing that you got to pull from it. He showed you that he has the moxie, and, you know, these are the things that he did at Miami as far as, you know, coming up clutch and really good in the clutch and things like that. And, you know, that's what he did on that drive. And I think the thing that you got to take away from that also is the fact that they had to change personnel up, right? They had to go to more 12 personnel because of how, you know, much they were down on the receivers. And, you know, when Iron Manor had his hamstring, he was limited, and DK with the chest contusion, and obviously Ridley with the fibula broken.
Now, TD, you said you spoke with Lloyd Cushenberry for a minute. How does he feel about the offensive line just in general? Because yesterday they were playing pretty good up until a point, and I know Houston – end up with three sacks. But at one point, I think even into the third quarter, it was the Titans didn't give up any sacks. And that's what a lot of people were talking about. Hey, these two rush ins, the Titans' bad offensive line, this is going to be a sack fest. It didn't ultimately end up that way. But how did JC feel about his play in the offensive line's play?
Cushenberry,
I'm sorry.
Right. No, I know what you meant. But I'm glad you mentioned him because I was going to touch on that too. I think when you look at it, they understood that there were too many penalties in the false starts, five of them. But outside of that, and that's not to discount it because it's still a part of the program, you know, that they put out there. But, you know, I think for the most part, as far as the pressures and stuff like that, I think, you know, they did a solid job. And Cushenberry will tell you the same thing. And I think, you know, you mentioned J.C. Latham, and obviously those false starts that he had were terrible. And, you know, they had their own story to each of them, et cetera. But I think if you actually look at his play itself, he didn't play bad. He actually played pretty well, you know, against those guys. Neither of them, you know, got sacks on him. And, you know, he limited the pressure. So I think he did a solid job for the most part.
Now, how much is – because – listen, the talk was Calvin Ridley's back. Will he play? He ended up playing briefly, one play. But you saw very early on that he was probably going to be a fixture in that offense. Great throwback, Cam. Good catch. Ultimately, he gets injured. This kid can't buy a break. No pun intended. But do you think that was something that they were looking to do, get Calvin Ridley involved very early? Because I think if he's in the game, even the things that I've said about him being inconsistent, I think you have another pass catcher on the field that may cause Houston to play defense a little bit different.
Yeah, and that's what Cam Ward said in regards to Ridley. Like, he's like, it's Calvin Ridley. You got to respect him. And he's a guy that defenses are going to have to adjust to. And I think 100% that was the case. And it's just crazy how this team, even when they do something right, it has bad consequences, right? Because how many times has it been said, hey, don't run the ball on the first play of the game offensively, right? They do it all the time. And so now they get away from it, and now one of your best offensive weapons ends up hurt. So it's just an example of just how this team is just, they can't win for anything. It's a catch-22 with almost everything with them.
Teron Davenport is with us. So, Teron, let's try to look at some of the things that they're trying to inch forward. Let's start with Cam Ward. A couple of key runs at key times. That's a step in the right direction to be. Have you seen that building some? Are you confident we're going to see a little bit more of that as we go forward?
Yes, because that's one of the things that he thought about over the break, you know, in addition to making the easy play, the easy throw. But, I mean, look, that's one of the easy plays. They're a man defense back to the quarterback, and, you know, you got a rush lane. And he said that because of the way that they rushed the passer, that there were going to be lanes for him to escape and make a run and scramble. So that's what you saw. But I think in addition to that, you also have to look at what Mike McCoy said when we talked to him last Monday, and he mentioned how he watched other quarterbacks and saw how decisive they were as far as throwing the football, but more importantly, running. And I think that's something that was kind of preached to Cam to be more decisive. I think it was like 2.6 seconds per throw, which is down from the 2.9 that he was at. So all of that is going into the account of being more decisiveness, knowing when to run the football, and then also when to go ahead and throw it, get it out your hands quickly.
That leads me into, I think, a big question for Mike Borgonzi, as he's watching Cam Ward make these little baby steps and hopefully figure out what does he do really well, where is he going to continue to get better, and in the big picture, what do I want the offense to look like with the new coaching staff, whoever that ends up being? What do you think goes through his mind? What do you think he's learned about Cam Ward, Borgonzi, in the weeks since they've made the change with Callahan?
Yeah, I think he's learned that Cam is pretty much unflappable. And you could put him in pretty much any situation, and he's not going to fold. Now, will he come through and make a tremendous play, that's to be determined. But I think yesterday showed you that he's capable of it. So really it just comes down to knowing that you got a guy that you could put in the fire and he's going to be okay. And that's the main thing. Then you also see, like, hey, got to put some weapons around him, right? And I think, you look at what Chig accomplished. That was a tremendous catch by Okonkwo, on that corner route that he made. And it was a tremendous throw.
They need some more guys to make plays like that, without a doubt. That's hopefully going to be in the cards. Do you have a sense of anything materializing on the coaching search? Do you think there's any chance that they will keep any portion of the staff offensively or defensively when they make the change, or when they decide that it's not an interim anymore?
Yeah, I don't even think they have any sense of that, honestly, because once you hire the person, once you hire the coach, he's going to have his guys, and sometimes you have spillover, sometimes you don't. But it really depends on the guy who's coming in. I mean, it's just, like Bill Parcells used to say, if you're going to make me cook, at least let me go get the groceries.
Right.
And that's obviously for the players when he was talking about that. But I think it applies even more to the coaches, because those are the ones that you have in place, institute, and all of your core principles.
Two more quick ones. Gunnar Helm just had a good question on our YouTube chat about him. How do they get him to a next level? Because the more you watch him, like, it's like when they throw it his way, good things seem to happen. What's next for him?
Yeah, I mean, he's been targeted 31 times, caught 26 of them, right? So Mike McCoy said he wants completions. Well, scheme up more ways to get him the football. And
yes.
I think really it just comes down to giving him the targets. Now, I'm still not sure how many plays that they're calling where he's one of the top options, and Cam is getting away from it sometimes. But, I mean, it's really just the bottom line is, you don't want to force it to him, but you got to take advantage of this man's ability. And I think, there's different things that you could do to get him the ball, and they have to do that more because he's clearly a playmaker.
Last one, your perspective on Jeffrey Simmons. We had a good talk with D-Mace about this earlier in the show. But one thing, and you've watched it because you cover this locker room every day, and they've gone through the struggles, without a doubt. So the same guys get asked the same questions every week. After these losses, it can't be an easy thing to do. But how do you think they're handling that part of it, specifically Simmons, who's always going to be the go-to guy?
Yeah, I think he's done a great job. And actually, you've seen a lot of growth in Jeffrey Simmons. And I'm proud of the way that he's stood up and handled a lot of this, because he is clearly tired of the losing. And he's not going to be soft with it or sugarcoat it anymore. I like the fact that he's like, hey, man, like, we just have to have direct conversation. And the thing that was the best to me about all that, because when I asked him about that direct conversation and, hey, how are you gonna make sure that it's not personal? And one of the things that he said was, if they're taking it personal, I don't know what to tell them, because I'm challenging them, right? It's not anything like a dig at their manhood or anything like that. He's just challenging them to elevate their play, and I think that's what you want your leaders to do.
Teron Davenport has been our guest on D-Mace, Ving, and Adonik. He joins us every Monday at 3:40, and he is presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. TD, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate it.
615-737-1025. We've got a lot of reaction, so we will get to all of it coming up next. 615-737-1025 if you want in on it. But I did tell you that we have a couple of giveaways today, so here's the first. If you want a pair of tickets to see Belmont women's basketball take on Lipscomb at the Curb Event Center this Wednesday, be caller number 2 at 615-737-1025. Once again, a pair of tickets to see Belmont women's basketball take on Lipscomb at the Curb Event Center this Wednesday. Tip-off is at 5 p.m. Be caller number 2. 615-737-1025. Let me tell all of you Predators fans out there that now that the team is back from Sweden, Smashville Live returns Wednesday night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 o'clock. See your Predators star players up close and personal and get autographs and pictures, player guests, TBD. But that's this Wednesday night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue, and only on 102.5 The Game.